Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us for this new study series through the book of Ephesians. Delighted you're with us. This is session 3 of the study, and each session, of course, is added to our archive, and you can access them anytime you visit basicgospel.net/teaching. More on that later, but right now, let's go ahead and get started and turn to Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and for those of you who missed last week, I would certainly encourage you to go to our archives and listen, or go to our YouTube page and watch. That was just a fabulous study through the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. It's something that when we were going through our marriage teaching last summer, it's one of the things that we encouraged husband and wife to do together is to sit down and read this and to really learn who each other is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And it's going to change the very nature of your relationship one to another. So this is really, really powerful stuff. And this particular session is Paul's follow-up to what he revealed to us as far as the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus in the first 14 verses. And he follows up with a prayer, and that's what you're going to see so often in Paul's writings and his letters. He will just give you this just magnificent piece of information, this just stunning truth about who Christ is, what he's accomplished for us, and all of these things. And then he'll stop and pray and say, I really want you to know this. Yeah. And so much so, I'm going to pray that God will make it known to you. And that's what we see in this particular section.
That opening phrase, for this reason, something good's
absolutely,
coming.
Absolutely, absolutely. So today we're going to look at verses 15 through 23 in chapter 1. I've entitled this, A Prayer for Hope and Power. Now, it's actually not a prayer for hope and power. We already have hope in Christ. We already have the power of Christ. Those are ours as believers in Jesus, as new creatures in Christ. So he's not praying for us to get that or for God to give us hope or for God to give us power. He's actually praying that we may know the hope that we have and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's really the downfall of Christianity today, as we don't know what we have in Jesus. We literally do not know what we have. Now, years ago, we had a ranch up in Argyle, Texas, and beautiful, beautiful piece of property.
Yes.
And we got rid of it, sold it, and left and rented some space in Dallas, and we've moved around several times. But we left that beautiful ranch not knowing something. Mm. And what we didn't know cost us a great deal. And we did not know that there was natural gas on that property. The next owner knew that.
Yes.
And was able to drill and to start generating a monthly profit that covered the cost of the ranch itself. So we were living without knowledge. Mm-hmm. And Paul doesn't want us to live without knowledge as Christians. He wants us to know the fullness of what we have in Christ. And that's the reason for the prayer. And that's how he starts this section, for this reason. So Paul is going to pray on behalf of the Ephesians, and he's praying on our behalf as well. He wants us to know this stuff. He didn't just limit it to first century believers. This is for all believers. So he says, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So something has provoked Paul to pray for these Ephesians, and it's the fact that they have faith in Jesus Christ and they have love for the saints. Now, those are the two commands, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to know what's the most important thing to Jesus, it's first to believe in him. And then he says, I give you this new command too, and that's to love one another as I have loved you. That covers new covenant life.
Yeah, that really is
new
covenant life. And John, in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 23 spells those out. These are the commands that you believe in Jesus and that you love one another. And it's interesting, that book was written to the Ephesians as well, we think. So there's really some dots being connected. So Paul is praying because he's heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love toward all the saints. And now, this is an interesting thing, their faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, we hear about having faith in the Word of God and having faith in this and faith in that. And when you read the Word of God, it always connects your faith to Jesus.
Yes.
There's never a time where it says anything other than faith in Jesus. It can say faith in God, but when it's talking about Jesus, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that faith in Jesus is going to generate. That becomes the source of this love one toward another. Paul put it this way in Galatians 5:6. It is your faith manifesting in love one toward another that is of supreme importance. That's the only thing that counts. So here Paul is recognizing this reality in the Ephesians, and he says, you know, I'm remembering you in prayer. I'm praying for you constantly without ceasing. And here's what I want you to know. I want that faith in Jesus to be even more tight as far as you're concerned, and that love for others to continue to grow. And so I want you to know some things. And that's what he's going to pray in this particular prayer.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, friends, and we're glad that you're with us today. If, as we continue in this study of the book of Ephesians, please remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We're only here because of people like you. You make it possible by your prayers and your gifts, and we invite you, if you have not done so yet, to join the ranks of those who have. Please click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can make your contribution through Basic Gospel. I almost said vote. Through Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We deeply appreciate your part in keeping us available to proclaim the good news of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's dive into really the contents of this prayer. So he starts out in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And boy, that's power-packed right there, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I mean, those two words, wisdom and revelation, and notice that God is giving those to us. I mean, the word wisdom, it has to do with the knowledge and insight and deep understanding, but not just of worldly things.
Right.
This is, in particular, the ability to understand this relationship we have with Jesus himself. A major gift of God.
Yeah, there's worldly wisdom that we can attain.
Sure,
but this is completely different. Mm-hmm. This is a divine gift. So Paul is praying that God would give you this spirit of wisdom. So it's not something that you can find out there in the world. It's not something that you can discover academically. And any of the worldly pursuits out there, this is something that God gives us.
Yes.
So he's praying that we have this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So it's specifically tied to the person of Jesus Christ. And this word revelation, you will love this word. It's the same word that is the title of the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it means to reveal or unveil something that was once not known or secret. And this information about Christ was not known in the world until really Christ appeared. We knew some information about him. We knew what God had revealed through the prophets of old, but we didn't know all of the information about Jesus. And so Paul is praying that we're going to have this spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation concerning Jesus Christ, that this knowledge that has been hidden from the world will be made known to us. Now, wow, what a special prayer that is.
It sure is. And here's one of the tragedies of Christianity is we think of this word, it's actually the word apocalypse, and we go, ooh, that's a bad thing.
Yes.
It must be about judgment and pain. And if Paul's praying that on me, then he's praying judgment. It has nothing to do with judgment and pain.
No.
It has everything to do with revealing who Christ is and peeling the layers of that onion. And every time you go a little bit deeper, it gets that much better.
Right.
This is the most awesome thing that he's praying for us.
Yeah,
that we would understand Jesus this
way. I mean,
way.
We've come out of a world system that has done everything to suppress the truth mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, to keep it under wraps. And now that we've come to Christ, that we know Christ, Paul is saying, let's just take all the wraps off. Let's just take all the religious stuff that's covered over. Let's just take all the worldly stuff, the fleshly stuff, and let's just get like a power wash and just wash it clean mm-hmm. so that you can have the full knowledge, the full understanding, the full unveiling of Jesus Christ himself in you and through you. And then he goes on to say that having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So again, it's just making you understand. It's just bringing light to those minds of yours so that you can truly see Jesus for who he really is.
Yeah, this isn't somebody sneaking into a dark room with a pen light and trying to, you know, this is throwing a switch and having the place lit up like it's 10,000 daylights in your heart so that you can begin to understand.
Yes, yes. That's a powerful description there, Richard. So he's praying that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened, the eyes of our minds will be enlightened. And this isn't just intellectual knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This is a heart-based knowledge. This is something that Paul talked about, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So it's something that goes to the very core of who we are. We know him at the deepest levels of our human existence. And you know, he's going to pray in chapter 3 that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. This is kind of a similar prayer here as far as that goes. So he's saying that he wants us to have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. He wants the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened so that we may know. Now, that's the operative word, so that we may know. Well, what he's saying to us, it takes the spirit of wisdom, it takes the spirit of revelation, it takes the enlightenment of our minds and our hearts by God to bring us to that point of truly knowing. Now, what does he want us to know? Well, he says this, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So that's what he wants us to know, the hope that we have in Christ. We have it.
Yes.
It's ours. It's a part of this whole salvation package.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we're going to be with the Lord forever. We know that we're going to get resurrected bodies. This is our hope. But a lot of times we just really glaze over that. We don't give it its proper place as far as the Christian life is concerned. And Paul is saying, hey, I want to elevate that. Mm-hmm. I want to give it its proper place. And I want you to know the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, the hope that by which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So what he's saying is that God has an inheritance in us. We are his inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of us think like that?
Oh, very, very rarely.
Right.
We're always worrying that he's going to stomp on us.
Yeah.
And instead, we are heirs of Christ, fellow heirs with Christ, and heirs of God.
Yes.
I mean, we are the result of something God did, and he just is so thrilled with that, he can hardly contain himself.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people that, you know, if there's a heavenly refrigerator, he's got our picture on that heavenly refrigerator. Yeah. If he carries a wallet and he pulls it out and he's got all the pictures, we're in that wallet. Mm-hmm. And he's going to sit down at a, you know, whoever he's talking to. Let me tell you about, you know, Bob or Richard or whoever it might be.
Yeah.
I am so proud of him. I mean, he was offered life and received, and man, it's just great to see, you know, him as my child. Mm-hmm. And that's God's attitude toward us.
Yeah.
And so we are his inheritance. He is proud of us. He takes joy in us and is thrilled that we've been set free and liberated by the truth of Jesus Christ. So that's God toward us. And Paul wants us to know that. He wants us to truly understand the hope that we have and the fact that we are an inheritance to God the Father himself.
It's basic gospel, everybody. And if you can't get excited about that, I don't know what it's going to say. But with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this a study session 3 of our still new Friday series based on the book of Ephesians. Now, if you've missed any of the sessions so far, or if you miss any of the upcoming sessions, visit our teaching archive. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. You can catch up anytime. So again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. But again, this is study session 3 in this in-depth look at the book of Ephesians on basic gospel. And I guess let's get right back to
it. Yeah, let's get right back to it. And so not only does Paul want us to know that the hope that we have in Christ, he wants us to know the power that we have in Christ. And that's how he continues the prayer. And that's in verse 19. And he says, I want you to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe.
Yeah.
So we already have that.
Already have it.
There's been great power that has been directed toward us just to save us. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that God directed toward us to give us new life. We think we have to have these... you know, just horrible stories and this just testimony of, you know, I was bound up in drugs and sex and blah, 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 whatever it might be. And it's that gives the testimony some power, but that's not true. The power is the fact that God raised us to life. And we had at a conference years ago, there was a missionary that first time he ever kissed a girl, well, I hope he didn't kiss a guy, but first time he ever kissed a girl was when he said, I do at his wedding.
Wow.
First time he ever kissed a girl. And then right next to him sitting in this circle was somebody that had been a prostitute out in San Francisco, had just had a horrific life. Of promiscuity and all of that. Well, it took the same power to raise both to life.
Yes.
And that's the power that God has directed toward us, and that's the power that is now in us.
Yeah.
Why? Because the resurrected one lives in us.
And he's not praying that we get this power.
No.
But that we understand what we have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Big difference.
Yes, that we may know.
Yeah.
That we may know this is what we have. Now, he gives us some descriptions of what this power is all about. He says it's the power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So we're talking about some power.
Yeah.
Power that conquered sin and death. That's the power that lives in us. And we have to ask a question, and I think it's a very important question. Why in the world is the church so anemic today? Why do we not have the voice that we once did in the culture? And I think one of the real reasons, one of the core reasons, is because we don't know the power that we have in Christ Jesus. I talk to believers all the time who have basically resigned themselves to a life of struggle and misery, just looking to that day when they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Do you know what that person is? It's a believer who does not know the power that he has in Christ Jesus. That's what that person is. And it's a shame, and it's a tragedy. And Paul is saying, hey, I want to remedy this. I want people to know, and it's so much in my heart and mind, I am praying that God gives every Christian the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, of light and understanding in Jesus so that they can know that this power is theirs. Now, what's going to happen when somebody knows that that power is theirs? It's going to change everything as far as their expectations in the here and now. We don't have to bow down at temptation and say, oh, I just have no ability to overcome. My gosh, you do.
Yeah.
It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive, living in you. You have the power. You have the power to live as children of God in this world of darkness. That is yours. Man, live it. Man, just let it loose in your life. That's what he's saying here. And then he sums all this up by these words, for above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. So this Christ that was raised, this Christ that is seated at the right hand of God the Father, is filling all things, primarily the body.
Yes.
He's filling the body with himself, and he's filling us individually. And so this power, this authority that he has is now ours.
Yeah. There's not one in the earthly realms, there's not a rule, an authority, a power, a dominion, or a name that has any value to us, any power over us, any claim to us. We belong to Jesus. He's got surpassingly great, immeasurably glorious power,
yes.
And it's ours.
It is ours. Like I said, we kowtow to the people of this world.
Yeah.
We just don't think we can make a difference here. We just don't think that our lives are going to matter much. And I just say hogwash. I mean, all that is just hogwash.
It's unbelief.
Yes,
it really is.
So Paul is saying, you have hope, you have power, it's bound up in the person of Christ. He is yours, you are his, he is alive, living in you. Trust him, and that trust is going to explode in a power of love that is going to change everything. Let it happen by trusting and abiding in the one who loved us and gave himself for us.
That is powerful, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. Richard, thank you for what you added to the broadcast today. You always add a wonderful insight into it as well. And friends, thank you for being with us for this Basic Gospel Session 3 on our series from the Book of Ephesians. We hope you'll be with us every Friday on this series, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, take advantage of the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift, you're helping to make Basic Gospel possible on the air and online every day, proclaiming the truth of God's grace. To help, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. A reminder, too, that we are streaming live video every day, Monday through Friday, on Basic Gospel to both our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. And you can pose questions through those menus as well. So we encourage you to join us on Monday if you can, and come on inside the studio during that presentation during the live stream. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail anytime. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We put it in play for you, our Basic Gospel listeners. Or you can drop a question to Bob at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.